This is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And truly we can rejoice in every circumstances and everything, because we know that the Lord thy God, he lives forevermore. And today we have this confidence that God we serve, he is the miracle worker, and there is nothing too hard with him. This morning I greet you in the name of Jesus, and it's a joy, privilege to be in the house of God amongst the people of God. It's great to see each one of you again. I pray that the Lord bless you and be with you in a special way. Take this opportunity of thanking the leadership for the privilege of sharing God's word today. This morning my reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse number 31. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 31. Now when the words which David spoke was heard, he reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth." And he was a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered it from the lamb of his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a brazen helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, and he could not, because he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose to himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put it in his shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling which was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." I pray may God bless the reading of his word. In fact, this morning I've read the story of David and Goliath many times, and this story is one of the most famous stories that has has been preached as well. But today when I was reading this chapter, when I just look at verse 40, I just want to share a few things from verse 40. You know, when David was coming against Goliath, how he ran towards Goliath and he took his sling and a stone and he hit him in his forehead. But yeah, the Bible says that David took his staff. It is the first time I've seen that in verse 40. I've not seen that before. It's the first time that David took his staff, which means that the staff represents the word of God. If any one of you want to come the Goliaths in your life, the problems, the hardship, the difficulties, you need to take the word of God with you. You need to stand on the word of God. The word of God needs to be the foundation of your life, and you need to hold on to that promise. Any Goliath that you're facing, you need to run with the word of God. And the Bible said that David ran, when he saw Goliath, what he ran towards Goliath. What he was doing, he was running towards Goliath with his sling in his hand and also with a staff in his hand. And today we pray that even God wants us to run with the word of God. If you want to see success, if you want to see blessing, we want to see breakthrough, we want to see deliverance, we want to see the power of the Spirit of God moving and operating in the way that we have not experienced before, we as believers need to run with the Holy Word of God. And that is the only thing that will keep the church alive. That is the only thing that will have breakthrough, deliverance and healing and restoration. We'll see the glory of God be manifested. David knew the power of God. We need to be grounded. We need to stand on the word of God, run with the word of God, speak the word of God. May the word of God become part of every part of our lives. Why many of us be defeated? Because we stand on our own word. We stand on the word of what people are saying. When Jesus confronted the devil, when Jesus came against the devil, he stood with the word of God. And that was the greatest enemy that Jesus ever stood against, was Satan himself. And it's no coincidence, do you know, that David pitched up on the 40th day. On the battle, and Jesus was in the wilderness for how many days? 40 days. And he overcame the devil with what? With the staff, with the word of God. If we want to come the Goliaths in our life, we want to come against the giants, the strongholds in our life, we as believers need to stand on the word of God. Even when the outside world sees us, they must know that our lives are built on the word of God. You know, in the pool of Bethesda, there are five pillars, and these five pillars represent the five books of Moses, the Torah. So every time the Jews and they went to the pool of Bethesda and they saw the five pillars, they reminded them of themselves of the law. And when people see us, they must see that they must know that my life and your life is built on the word of God. So the first thing that David did, what he did, he ran with the word of God. He ran with his staff. So we look in the story, when we look at David and Goliath, David never planned to kill a lion or a bear or Goliath. He never planned any of these things. And I know, remember the last time I spoke about fasting and prayer. When David came into the situation, when David came against Goliath, he did not say, hey, let me go and fast and pray 40 days. Do you know why he did not do that? Because while he was taking care of the shepherd, while he was taking care of the sheep, while he was in the backside of the desert as such, looking after his father's sheep, what? He had this intimate relationship with God. Think about this. When the lion came against David, when the bear came against the flock, when he saw Goliath, if it comes against us, what we will do? We will run. And that is the natural. But you see, the Bible says that David knew the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was always in tune with the presence of God. So God wants us to be in tune with him all the time. So which means when conflict comes, it not comes as a surprise. David was no surprise to Goliath was no surprise to David. He took on the challenge full on because he knew the presence of God. So being in the presence of God will make us prepare for any battle. David, he did not run if he knew the presence of God and the power of God in his life. Excuse me. And this teaches us our daily walk with God matters more than we realize. So what you do in your private, how you serve the Lord, how you walk with the Lord, actually even at your work, even your quiet places, is actually preparing you for battle which you yourself do not know. So your quiet times prepare you for the Goliaths, for the lions and for the bears. Your quiet time with the Lord. And God wants us, it is unseen moments in worship, in prayer, in faithfulness, obedience. God prepares us for the visible victories. David's strength did not come from his title or his strength. It came from spending time with the Lord. So the thing is, God is calling us to spend that time with Him. God is calling us to spend that time with Him. And when you look at the story, David killed Goliath instantly. He killed the bear and the lion instantly. He had that power that God has given him from above. And that is the kind of relationship we are lacking, including myself. So many times we are facing the same battle day after day, sometimes year after year, months after months, we are facing the same battles. These same giants, the same Goliath, the same problems, the same things that we are facing. But God is calling us back into His presence. When Jesus called His first to His 12 disciples, the Bible says that first He wanted them to be with Him before to demonstrate the power of God, before to cast out devils, before to demonstrate, to go to the world and preach the gospel. He first wanted His disciples to be with Him. So being with Jesus, you'll have a greater anointing, greater presence. So we see when David enters the battlefield, he did not enter as a warrior, because the Bible says his father sent him as a delivery boy to deliver some meal to his brothers. So David, how he went to the field? He went as a delivery boy and also as a messenger. The father said, bring back news to me. First you give them the food and then you bring back the news about concerning the battle. But in the midst of the ordinary assignment, God was orchestrating a life-changing moment for David. What looked like a menial task became a doorway to David's destiny. David wasn't supposed to fight, be in the fight, but he ended up defeating Goliath and stepping into national recognition. This is the powerful reminder for each and every one of us. God uses ordinary moments, like a delivery boy, like a messenger. That's what David was. That was his task in this field, in this matter. God uses these ordinary moments to reveal the extraordinary power, extraordinary purpose and power in our lives. You may feel like stuck doing small and overlooked or even doing boring tasks, but faithfulness in those little things opens great doors in the eyes of God. David did not complain or seek a spotlight. He simply obeyed, looking after his father's sheep. And yeah, his task was to deliver this food to his brothers and bring back a message. And because he was in the right place at the right time with the right heart, God elevated him. Never despise where you are. The job, the responsibility, that delivery boy, or the cleaner, or someone that people may look down upon you. Those moments can be exact place where God uses to shift your life. So don't despise where you are. God can turn routine into revelation. Stay faithful, be ready, stay ready. Your battlefield moment might be waiting where you least expect it. For 40 days, we find that Goliath stood before the armies of God, taunting them and challenging someone to fight. Day after day, he mocked, he threatened and waited, but no one stepped forward. The warriors of Israel gripped with fear. On the surface, they looked like defeated. But what they did not know, that God was setting a stage for a divine moment. David did not come to this battlefield late. He arrived at the exact time, God ordained date. You know which day he reached the battlefield? On the 40th day. The last day God gave the challenge. For 40 days I will challenge you. For 40 days he was crying out, send me a man. Send me your champion. And David comes at the 40th day. So David did not come early on the day or halfway through the standoff. He came on the final day, just when the time was right. In the same way, God's timing in your life is never off. You may feel like you have been waiting a long time, watching situations unfolding, praying for a breakthrough, but delay does not mean a denial. God is never late. He is positioning you, preparing you, protecting you until the moment your assignment is ready to be revealed. At the right time, God sent Moses. At the right time, God sent David. When David stood before Goliath, not as a trained soldier, but as an anointed shepherd. He had no military background, no formal combat experience, no armor to protect him. What he did have, you know what he had? He had faith. Imagine seeing Goliath, he had faith. He had obedience and anointing of the Holy Spirit. When Saul and the rest of the army trembled at the sight of Goliath, David stepped forward with nothing but a staff, a sling, and a stone, and a confidence in the God who had delivered him before. David's strength wasn't in technique, but in trust. He boldly said, the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. That wasn't arrogance. It was assurance that God uses vessels for extraordinary victories. David did not need to be qualified by man. He was chosen by God and empowered by God. And this is a powerful reminder that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He delights using the unexpected. He likes using people that are downtrodden, people that have been overlooked to reveal his glory. David's story shows that the anointing overweighs experience and obedience opens the door that training could never do. When we look at Goliath, Goliath had expected a warrior to come and fight him. But who? David was a worshipper. A worshipper fighting Goliath. And this is one of the things that we can also do in our lives that can bring down the giants in our lives is worship. David was a man after God. He worshipped God. And he knew the presence of God. What we see, David's trust in Almighty God, and this is how he came Goliath. When God is for you, you do not need to match the enemy's size, strength, or strategy. And this is what the Israelites did. They were looking at his size, they're looking at focusing on who Goliath is, this great armor, this big person. Like David, you may not be the obvious choice, but when God put his hand upon your life, he can use you to bring down these giants. Not because you qualified, because he wants to be glorified in that situation. Now, when you look at the story when David and Goliath, the Bible says that he came against two things first, the lion and the bear. And when you look at the lion and the bear, or when I first look at the bear, you know what actually the bear represents in the spiritual context? It represents fleshly desires and comfort zones. This is what the bear represents. It represents the fleshly desires and comfort zones. Bear often represent carnal nature, laziness. Even they say the bear loves to eat and eat and eat. They say that the bear is greedy as such. And a desire for comfort and self-preservation. And spiritually what it means, it symbolizes inner strength with the flesh, like pride, greed, procrastination and selfishness. This is what it represents on the inside. So before we come against Goliath, we must often to overcome the eternal resistance to grow for to growth and discipline. We need to overcome those things that stopping the power of God being manifested in our lives. So we see that the lion, what he represents, fear, pride and fear. The lion, while being majestic, can represent pride, fear and intimidation. And sometimes it's the fear of failure, the pressure to prove oneself or arrogance must be humbled before God can use us. So killing the lion could mean subduing ego and mastering courage in the secret place through prayer, obedience and faith. And you know what Goliath represents? It symbolizes towering forces of spiritual darkness, torment, evil that confronts and intimidates the people of God. Where Goliath said, I defile the armies of the living God. Goliath was actually bringing fear on the people. This was the satanic powers of darkness that David had to come. Where it's really defiling God's army. The name of God. Because David said in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible said the Israelite soldiers were paralyzed by Goliath's strength. And they were full with anxiety, addiction, oppression, depression. They were full with this fear. And these are the modern Goliath's spiritual forces that seek to dominate and silence the people of God. They want to challenge you. They want to challenge your faith. They want to challenge your walk with God. These are satanic operations where the devil uses people to come against the people of God. David, a young shepherd with unwavering faith, recognized that Goliath's challenge were not just against Israel, but against the Lord himself. He said, you come with a spear, a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. David's courage wasn't rooted in self-confidence, but in deep trust in the God that he believed and the God that he served. David's courage was rooted in Christ himself. By confronting Goliath, David engaged in spiritual warfare, standing not in his own strength, but in the authority of the Word of God. Today, believers are called to take the same stand. We are reminded that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. So we must know the spiritual attacks against the church today. Where the people are saying, not to pray, not to say Jesus is the Savior of the world, not to preach, not. These are satanic attacks that are coming against the church. And we as a church need to rise and come against these attacks with the Word of God. We need to know that victory does not come through spiritual might, but through faith and obedience. Goliath's defeat is a reminder that no darkness can withstand the name of the Lord our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. No darkness can stand against the power of God. No darkness, no evil can stand against God's kingdom. So David's battle with the lion and the bear symbolized the inner struggles we face, personal fears, doubt, emotional conflicts. These private victories prepare him for the greater challenge, confronting Goliath as spiritual powers of darkness where Satan is using. And this is what he uses against the church as well. Why we get defeated of not coming against the Goliath? Because we are still battling with those inner conflicts. We have not defeated them. We have not progressed. We have not killed the bear, the lion. We have not gone progress. We have not progressed and seeing the power of God be manifested in our life that God wants us to see. See, David's courage came from those old early victories and his deep trust in God. In the same way, our private triumphs over inner conflict strength helps us to stand boldly against spiritual powers of darkness, knowing that God equips and empowers us for every spiritual battle. When David stood before Goliath, he wasn't armed with sword or shield, but just five smooth stones, faith and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. With one stone, he struck down the giant. But he did not stop there. David ran forward, took out his sword, cut off his head, a simple sign of a complete sign of victory and of deliverance. But you know, when you look at this, it doesn't stop there. About this one little boy and this battle, it's a picture of something greater, something more powerful. You know, he took the smooth stone from the rock, and the Bible mentions it. But when you look at centuries later, Jesus is that smooth rock, the Lamb of God without sin. And he stood in a greater valley. He died on that valley. He died on that hill cross. And that the cross was his battlefield to the world. It looked like a defeat. The enemy rejoiced. Hell was celebrating, thinking that it was won. But just like David, Jesus did not stop with one blow through his death on the cross. Through his death and burial and resurrection, he crushed the serpent's head, the ancient enemy, Satan. He triumphed over him publicly. In Colossians 2 verse 5 says, disarming principalities and authorities, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In the Roman times, a victorious king will normally cut off the head and parade in celebration, and they'll have a great parade, a great celebration, and saying that we have defeated the king. And Jesus did that same spiritually, not in pride but in power. The cross was a defeat. It was Satan's ultimate defeat. And today, believers walk in confidence. Whatever your giant might be facing, you know that your champion has already won this, already given you the victory, because the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. We as people of God, we have the victory. We have the deliverance. We are overcomers. Satan has no authority against you. Demon spirits have no authority against you. Sickness has no authority against you. Disease has no authority against you. Infirmities has no authority against you. The power of God is greater because Jesus defeated the devil. He conquered the devil. He made him null and void. And today we have the victory because he is the sinless Lamb of God. And every powers of darkness that coming against the church and coming against our family and coming against our home is defeated by the blood of Jesus. So because the Israelites could not defeat Goliath, because why? They were focused on their size and focused in the army, focused on his strength. And you just think this little boy coming to the battlefield and he's seeing Goliath, what he's seeing? He's saying, this is an uncircumcised Philistine. Where these people are looking at? The size. David said, this man is an uncircumcised Philistine. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water And Peter said, Jesus said, Peter, come and walk with me in the water. And the Bible said Peter began to walk. What did Peter see? Jesus is there and the storm is there. He's looking at the big storm. He's looking at the focus, how big the storm is. How huge that storm is. And the same thing with the whole of the Israelite army. They are looking at the size of the Goliath. You are looking at the size of your problem. You are looking at the size of your difficulty. You are looking at the size of the things that you are going through. Because imagine Jesus in the water, in that sea, how tiny he could be compared to that big storm. The creator of the whole world was there. But no, he turned to look at the big storm. Look at the huge waves. Look at the big place. It's the same thing with the Israelites. They're looking at how big the problem is. How big the situation might be is. But David saw something different. Because I was just thinking, when Jesus walked in the water himself first before he could come to Peter, what did Jesus see? He did not look at the waves. He did not look at the storm. He did not look how big the waves were. He was looking to his Father. Because every step he took, he walked in the Spirit of God with the help of his Father. See, Jesus' focus was different. Peter's focus was different. David's focus was different. He was focused on God. The Israelites' army were focused on what? The size of this giant. And Peter looking at the size of the wave. But today, we as believers, we need to look at the focus of who Jesus is. That is the mistake that we make, as a lot of us as believers. We look at the size of the problem. We look at the difficulty rather than seeing Jesus right there. David, mind was, for the first time he seeing Goliath, he said, this is it, I can get him. Because this man is not circumcised. That's all he said. He never looked at his size, he never looked at who he is. Imagine the first time David coming in the picture, first day he seeing Goliath as well. And he said, boy, I can get him. And that's how we need to be as the church. I can get him. I can believe God that he's going to do it for me. There's so many things that God has did for us. Even as Nengwe said, we are so rich and we are so blessed. Because he had blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But no. Hey, the other day I could not make it to buy bread, man. But every day, we just look at one small thing, you see. We're looking too much on what we don't believe, what we see. But see something different that David saw. David's mentality was different because of the presence of God, the anointing of God, the peace of the Holy Spirit. He saw something different. Hey, I'm going to get him. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to believe that he is with us. And this is the difference between those who know God and those who walk in the covenant of God. Covenant people do not see as the world sees. That is the mindset. Covenant people believe in the promises of God. They walk in the promises of God. They keep the promises of God. They live in the promises of God. Because covenant people move differently, covenant people trust differently, and most of all, covenant people win differently. David understood something that many people miss. Those who are in covenant with God are meant to walk in protection, provision, promises of God. Do you know that? Because you are in covenant with God, you are already protected. But how many times we feel not protected? How many times we feel we don't have our needs being met? Because we don't stand in the word of God. We're just standing on the natural. We're standing on how the world thinks. When he saw Goliath, he was not just thinking of battle strategy. He was thinking in terms of relationship. You see, what you're thinking in terms of relationship. This man, Goliath, is not in covenant with the true God, the God of Israel. See, his whole mindset changed. He knew that David knew that he was a child of God. He was protected. On the other hand, Goliath was uncircumcised. He had no covering. But here's the key. Being a covenant person is not just about having a title or history. It's living under the covenant and staying within the covering. It's like you're having an umbrella. And the umbrella is designed to keep you dry in wet weathers. But suppose if you do not use it, you'll be soaked. And having access to protection is not the same as walking in it. And many people are covenant people by name. They attend church, they know the scripture, they pray, but they're not under the covenant. Not living in obedience, not living in faith, they're not living in alignment with the word of God. Covenant has terms. And while God is always faithful to keep his part, we must honor our part as well. Obedience, trust, humility, faith are just religious duties, but how much more we must remain under the umbrella, the covenant of God. And that is why when David came into the situation, what he knew? He was under that covering. Because why? Why David was under the covering? You want to know why? Because he had a relationship with God. He was walking in obedience, being a worship of God, praying, seeking the face of God, doing what is right according to the covenant, according to the law that they had at that time, which is the word of God today. So he just knew, I am keeping the law, I am keeping the commandments, I know my life is right with God. And that's how he came against Goliath. So when storms come in your life, do not just hold the umbrella, open it, live under the covenant, speak the promise of God, speak the word of God, speak the blessings of God. Sometimes God is the last person when we're facing conflicts. Like suppose we're going to the supermarket and your card doesn't work. You know, God, sometimes God is the last person in that situation. Oh, I need to contact my bank. You know, let's be honest. But we can't say, oh God, please do a miracle in my life. You know, one day I went to wash the car and I left my wallet at home. And in the garage you have to pay. But I filled petrol and then washed the car. So I went into the garage to explain my situation, was standing in the queue. The man said, no, you know what? Your bill is already paid for. Because I was saying, God, what must I do now? You see, sometimes God is the last person. So we need to believe God in every situation. In every situation, we need to believe and trust in the covenant that you are under the covenant. As long as you know you're trying to keep the law of God. And yes, nobody is perfect. But as long as we're keeping ourselves under that umbrella, under that covenant, because God is keeping his part, so we need to keep our part. And David, when he comes against Goliath, he knew that I'm keeping my part. But then he also knew that God, if he steps forward, God will keep his part. And that's how he came against Goliath. Being in covenant with God, being under the covenant, being under the promises of the blessings of the Holy Spirit. So today we pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to work in our lives. Remember when Saul tried to offer his armor. And this is another thing we want to make the mistake is, Saul has lost the anointing of God. Now who wants to use an armor that a person that God has departed from? And that is a sad thing in the church as well. When we know that God has departed from such a place and a person, but we want to use their armor, run with their vision, run with their purpose, what happens? It leads us to religion, tradition, bondage. Same, we get defeated. God is doing something new today. We need to live under the armor of the Holy Spirit and the armor of God. And that is why Jesus said, be clothed with power from on high. You hear a lot of people say, I like to be like this, I like to be like this, I like to be like that. There's nothing wrong with these things. But Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he said, be clothed with the power from on high. So you have another covering, the covering of the Holy Spirit, the covering of power, the covering of authority, the covering of blessing, the covering of boldness, the covering of confidence. You have that covering upon your life, the covering of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that was clothed upon Jesus. So from this story we can realize that God is greater than any problem, is greater than any circumstances, is greater than any difficulty. No matter how bleak or how difficult your problem might be, Jesus Christ is the greatest. No matter how many attacks the devil may throw at you, you have the victory over the demon powers. You have the victory over those Goliaths. You are an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. You are an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. Know your authority in this world. Know your place in this world. Know your place at the workplace. Know who you are. You are a person that is under covenant with Almighty God, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, because those who are with me is greater than those who are in the world. So those who are with me is greater than those who are in the world. So know the place of God in your life. You are in covenant with God. You are a child of God. You, out of all the billions of people, God has chosen you. He has chosen you. He's chosen you. He's chosen all of us. So that is why under the covenant people, we must so live in the victory, in the blessing, in the promises, and the favor of Almighty God. So let us walk in that covenant. Let us believe and let us trust God that He is going to do a new work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to worship you, Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you, Father, for the finished work of Calvary. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings and for your power, for your promises, O God. And today we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you destroyed the works of the devil. And this is the purpose that you came into this world, to destroy every powers of darkness, O God. Satan has no authority over my life and over my family, over my children, over this ministry and over the people of this church. We pray that in the name of Jesus, that every stronghold in this church will be cut down and be broken in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that even you know the inner battles that people are facing, conflicts where the devil tries to torment them. I pray that you give them victory over those inner battles, O God. And Lord, we pray that you'll bring complete deliverance and healing and restoration, that the glory and the presence of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your glory will just be manifested, and I pray that your love will just be revealed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that every Goliath that's come against them, satanic powers that has come against their lives, O God, we rebuke those satanic ministry powers, O God, over this ministry, over this church, and over the people of the church. We cut it off in the name of Jesus. We thank you that even today, that your word says that we are overcomers by the blood of Jesus. We are overcomers by the blood of Jesus. We are overcomers by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that this ministry is an overcomer, Lord, because of the blood of Jesus and because of the victory that you have given to them. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that religion, tradition, bondage has no authority in this church. We pray for the Spirit of God, the resurrection power of God to be manifested in the name of Jesus. We pray it will begin to operate in this church. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for restoration. We pray for the glory of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, every plan of Satan against this ministry and against the work of the play, we cut off in the name of Jesus, and we pray for the glory of God even to be revealed in the name of Jesus. Save, Lord, deliver the people, Lord Jesus, and let your glory be manifested. And Lord, whatever problem, whatever stumbling block, whatever giants that they're facing, we pray that you deliver them in the name of Jesus. We cut it off, O God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that your glory will be revealed and your love will just be revealed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your promise and for your word, even to become alive in this ministry and alive in the hearts of the people, that, Lord, that the giants will come down, Lord Jesus. We have victory by the blood of Jesus. The giants will come down in Aldershot, O God, the strongholds, O God, the demonic forces, O God, that's holding people in captivity, holding people in bondage, holding people in isolation, even those people that are meant to be here, Lord Jesus. We pray that we'll be broken today by the blood of Jesus. We break the powers of darkness, O God. And we pray that the glory of God will be revealed, O God. Just reveal your power in this ministry, O God. And we thank you, Father, that you'll bless this ministry and bless the people of God. We thank you that you'll help them to move forward, Lord, with victory, Lord Jesus, to know that they are overcomers, O God. They are victorious, O God. Because the battle is yours, O God, and the victory is theirs, O God. I speak victory over their lives, victory over their homes, victory over their finances, victory over this ministry, Lord Jesus, and we pray your blessings over them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.